Blog Talk Radio.
Cross your fingers. This is Ralph Pointer. What's happening? Blog Talk Radio, Tuesday, April the 23rd, 2024. And the call-in number tonight, as you can hear people beeping to ask me, is 347-857-3293. And most of you, if you got the message, you know that it's been a lot of drama, but we're back hopefully to our old number, which means our usual, we've rounded up the usual suspects. And so without further ado, you know I can't start without acknowledging the warrior in the house.
David Gilbert, Isaac Owen, Sekou Wendinga, Kwesi Balogun, all of these brothers who took arms against the sea of trouble, what Shakespeare told us about it. To be or not to be. To do or not to do. You, my brothers and sisters, are the people who do. Please include in your work the work of supporting and writing to those brothers and sisters who understood an evil. And his sister Lynn Stewart, who bad said, those brothers and sisters feared a little less with corrupt people who kill young brothers and sisters on the street because they fought back to kill them too. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell me my mother's not a good Christian. She understood that. If I get sent for you,
So there you have it. Once again, we're saying those of you who understood the principle, do something about it. This is serious. This is serious. We can no longer sit around fighting with each other. This is serious. We have to join the struggle. The children, that's what they are, our children in Colombia. I mean, they're standing up for us. The children all over the country are risking their livelihood and their careers and their future, just as the children in the 60s did. And we're not going to throw them under the bus this time with some stupid, nonviolent civil rights BS. We're demanding human rights and freedom, real liberation. And we don't need a Supreme Court to tell us what it means to be human and what human rights are. So you know the protest is going on at Columbia University. Even if they don't let you in, join the crowds that are outside. Shame the devil, as they used to say down south. Without further ado, we have a lot of people on the call tonight, but I want to start off with Sister Ann before we go to our theme. And you know the theme. It's always been there. What is the connection between the imperial wars that are happening now abroad and the wars against homeless citizens and the students here at home? But if you've got something else that's important, that's a struggle that you're involved in and you need to get this message out, you don't have to tie it in to the theme. Just get your message out there. Everybody's got to be doing something. All right, Sister Ann, New York City, Jericho, we want to start off with you, because we want you to start out at the top with Mamiya's birthday tomorrow. Your mic is open. And thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for coming back. New York City, Jericho, in the house. And you know how much Brother Ralph always praised Jericho in New York.
Thank you so much, Sister Betty. Always an honor and a privilege to be with you on this wonderful program. And so, yes, tomorrow is Mumia's 70th birthday, 70 years of resistance to the empire. I'm sure many people know about Mumia and his writings and his commentaries and everything else about him, which is so wonderful. And, of course, we are trying to bring the man home, which has been a long, hard struggle and is continuing. So tomorrow in Philly, there are two things happening. There's an afternoon rally and march from 2 to 4. And then there is an evening program as well, starting at 6 p.m. with speakers and so on, including Mark Lamont Hill and Fred Hampton and Johanna Fernandez and Mike Africa and Mama Pam and so on and so forth. And, of course, Sami Doon Palestinian Solidarity, because Mumia, as well as political prisoners, have always been in solidarity with Palestine. So there are a couple of buses. I know there's a Boston bus as well, but I'm talking about the New York City bus. If you want to get on the New York City bus, it will be leaving at 10 a.m. more or less, start boarding at 9:45 a.m., and it's leaving from 56 7th Avenue South between Commerce and Morton Streets, and there's a Eventbrite that you can link to. If you go to freemumia.com, all the information is right there. The hotline number is there, which is 212-330-8029, where you can leave a brief, clear message. But being as this is happening tomorrow, you might just want to go online to freemumia.com and get your bus ticket at Eventbrite. And then be sure to be tomorrow early down at 56 7th Avenue, which is between Commerce and Morton Streets, which is right near the Holland Tunnel. That's the reason it's leaving from there. And that will be boarding at 9:45 and leaving at 10:20 a.m. sharp. And then it will be leaving Philly at 8 p.m., whether the evening program is over or not, so that people will be back in New York City by hopefully around 10 p.m. And there is a bus from Boston as well. So I would encourage everybody, if you don't have anything else you need to do, like going to work tomorrow, which some of us have to do, please make sure to get on that bus and go down and show Mumia our support, because he has always supported all of us And as we all know, that freeing our prisoners means freeing ourselves. So thank you so much, Sister Betty, and looking forward to the rest of the program.
I know you've been putting out a lot of articles about the genocide that's going on in Gaza. Did you want to give us a quick summary? You don't have time to read some of the articles because they're so long, but do you want to, just off the top of your head?
Oh, well, a quick summary of what's going on in Gaza, and not only Gaza, we have to say Palestine, because now they're doing in the West Bank the same thing they've been doing in Gaza since October 7th. They're totally
right on, Ann.
Yeah, so
yes.
It's free Palestine folk, not just Gaza. This genocide is happening throughout the state of Palestine because the white settler Zionists do not want to have any Palestinians living on Palestinian land. They want to take all of the land for the Zionist entity. And they have been very clear about that since the very beginning of this genocide, by the way they've been speaking and talking about the Palestinians. You know, they're animals, they're subhuman, they're, you know, Satan. And they have been using, you know, biblical genocidal references to talk about how, you know, everybody should be killed, including little babies, including, you know, sheep, you know, as some of those horrible biblical genocidal massacres we talk about, you know, invoking Amalek and all that kind of stuff. So it's really disgusting. And the other really disgusting part of it, of course, is the total complicity of the U.S. government in this and the continual sending of more arms and more weapons so that genocidal maniacs, I might say, can continue with their genocide, because they are now currently threatening and have been threatening for quite a little time now to invade Rafah, which is in southern Gaza Strip, which is where they told everybody to go. You know, everywhere is supposedly a safe place. There is no safe place in Palestine. Everybody is under attack. And that includes mostly women and children and little babies and elders, many of whom are starving to death, literally starving to death as we speak in northern Gaza. So hopefully that Freedom Flotilla, which will be taking off very soon from Turkey, will actually this time be able to get there and not be attacked by the Zionist entity. So we'll be keeping our eyes on that because they'll be leaving in the next couple of days. And I think something like 5,500 tons of food. They have a huge amount of food on these boats that they're going to try to get into northern. So hopefully that will work. And the other great thing that I can say about all this is it is amazing to see and inspiring to see the people all over rising up against this. Everybody all over the world has been rising up against this. Their governments might not be doing anything, but the people certainly are. So free Palestine.
Right on, sister. So as you have heard, I know one of the statements Ralph used to use with me, he says, you know, it's the time for the revolution. When you start feeling like you got to do something, anything but doing nothing. He says, then you know it's time. And he says, when everybody else starts feeling the same way and get out there and act ridiculous, you know the revolution's close again. So it's going back up the hill. I'm referring to the Rock of Sisyphus, the Greek myth that life
yep.
and struggle is pushing the rock up the hill and the fascists push it back down. But we're going to push it up, and this time it's going all the way up, and it's going over, and it's going to crush them. So thank you, Sister
yeah.
Ann. All
yeah,
right,
yeah,
so. We're going to go to our poets, because if you're feeling like me all week, you've had this pain in your gut, and that's when you need poetry the most. And we've got a warrior in the house. She's fighting the same big C the way Comrade Ralph did, but nothing stops her. So Comrade Sister Julia in the house, your mic is open, and thank you for hanging in there with us. We miss you whenever you're not here.
Thank you. So I will quote from Jean-Marie Le Pen, who was a French neo-Nazi leader. He's still alive, by the way. He tortured in Algeria. He said, concentration camps, oh yes, They are a detail of history. And the second quote is an old proverb, the devil is in the detail. So
oh, yes.
Yes. So this is the poem. It is the details we will remember, the oranges thrown by an Egyptian man into an aid truck heading for Rafah, children in Gaza sleeping with their shoes on, always to be ready, children saving their beloved cats, begging them revive, and meanwhile the same children eat mice rather than die. Hot water poured over grass is a soup. A child carries his dead baby brother in a blue duffel bag. A little girl recognizes her mother by her hair. No frozen slope. No sledges, the collapsed roof of a destroyed mosque is good enough to surf on anxiety before the next snowfall of phosphorus. The devil is in the genocide. And then, 2 days ago was Earth Day. So yesterday, I wrote this poem. Yesterday was Earth Day, and worldwide we honored our assaulted mother with sacred rites. Yesterday was Earth Day, and the media that serves the corporations that deplete the earth sent viral photos of Gaza, C-sections, giving birth to mass graves. Yesterday was Earth Day, and the bleeding mud where the tortured, executed, and plasticized bodies of the daughters and sons of Palestine were exhumed, revealed beyond the ziplocked limbs an inhuman double bind. Not only do the Zionists help by the U.S. of A. commit genocide to steal an ancient land. That soil is at the same time declared terra non grata for the native burial of the thousands killed, now ancestors roaming the ruins of their home. There is a new class called the homeless dead. Apartheid still reigns underground. Little do the body snatchers know that the only graves that matter lie in a resilience we will protect with our lives and where they will never go, the Amazon and Wilani forests in the far reaches of our minds. Betty,
yes.
Can I give a few names of a few cities internationally that will celebrate Mumia's birthday?
Please do. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to put Germany first because kudos to Germany, in spite of the brutal repression against all the activists there, pro-Palestinian, pro-Mumia, pro-political prisoners, there will be birthday celebrations for Mumia in three cities, in Berlin, in Heidelberg, and in Frankfurt. In Switzerland, there will be a rally in front of the U.S. Embassy in Bern. There has already been a wonderful series of events in Mexico City. There was a departure, talking about the Amazon, in South America, in French Guiana, near the Amazon forest, a bunch of Pan-Africanist trade unionists dictating a march, a 70-kilometer march to Mumia. They left today from a town called Remir, and they will be arriving in another town tomorrow morning called Kourou at sundown. And the march is called Tambico Yahuhuru. However long the night lasts, the dawn will always break. There will be an event in London on May 4th with the daughter of France Fanon at the C.L.R. James Library. There are events, of course, in the United States and the cities of San Diego, Detroit, Houston, Texas. But, of course, as Sister Anne told us, a mega event in Philly.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to move on to our next poet in the house. I'm so happy he was able to return because we always miss him when we don't hear him. Comrade Professor Louis, your mic is open. Welcome. Thank you for hanging in there with us.
Okay. People are divided. We know that's true. It's nothing new. We've been divided since 1492. Working people are divided most of all, and a house divided is bound to fall. The biggest division is always race. Not easy to erase, smack in your face. It tells you your place. Between white and black, it goes all the way back. The first black people here were made into slaves, bought and sold from birth to graves, sold like a mule or cow, looked at like a human, no way, no how. And the Indians weren't white, so they weren't all right, had to be killed on sight. It was white against everyone else. And how does that affect yourself? If it makes you different from someone, that's no fun. And before you're done, if you try to find unity, you might find none. And a real big division is abortion. There's a portion of people who think it's murder. Look no further. If you kill a fetus that's not born yet, what you should get without fail is jail. It's a crime every time. Other people think it's about who decides if that baby lives or dies. Is it going to be the law made by men who could ignore or get sore at what the mom chooses? If she loses her baby, she's the one who can see it was not meant to be. A baby she couldn't care for, couldn't be there for. Someone has to decide who's going to hear when that baby cried. And if you ask me who it ought to be, from here to kingdom come, it is the mom who should have the voice to make this hard and painful choice. And we're divided by immigration. Here's the situation. Except for the Indians, we know it's true. Immigration happened to me and you. Your family could have come on the Mayflower from your ivory tower. Can you say they're not immigrants? That don't make sense. Unless you're an Indian proud of yourself, we all came from someplace else. And we're also divided about guns. Who's going to be the ones to stop that guy with automatic weapons, kill 9 people in just a few seconds? Maybe he just wanted to protect his home, go hunting, throw the dog a bone. It's really, really sad that every hour it all depends on who's in power. Some people own a gun and wouldn't hurt no one. other people hate you, want to exterminate you, and across this whole earth, for what it's worth, there's no other place where they're willing to put up with so much killing. It's way more than unique when there's a mass shooting every week. We know it's guns and mental health, and we got to ask ourselves, how come it don't happen any place else?
Right on.
And another division, yeah, another division is work and welfare. If someone don't work, it's not fair. It's a burden we all have to share, and we know there's fraud in welfare, and we care. Day or night, bullshit fraud is not right. But billionaires' fraud is mostly ignored. Million-dollar yacht while you got the Ford. Don't look at welfare like he or she is a slob. It's a working-class person who is out of a job. And you know it's true. It could happen to you. You might need a little help, too. And we're told the division is rural and urban. Are you drunk on bourbon? Because this has been going on forever. The city guy wears leather. The farmer thinks about the weather. And it's true. Me and you, we always knew this split has been here since cows went moo. The city mouse and the country mouse got a different relation to the house. Do we really need corporate news to tell us city and country got different views? And who you gonna blame for all this mess? Where the rich get richer and the poor get less. When it comes to blame, far and near, there's a real big division here. And the blame is right in your face. Here's the case. The super rich took it all and put you in your place. But somehow there's another idea that's kind of queer, that who we have to fear is elites. That's who put the homeless out on the streets. Because elites think they're so smart, they want to tear apart all the things we believe in. They want to win, and the line is thin, because some people with too many books can be a pain. They think they know stuff that they can't explain and don't know enough to get out of the rain. But don't be played for a dummy, rainy or sunny. Follow the money. It might be true. Some people can make you blue, thinking they know more than you, but who profits from keeping everything the same? Where the rich make money and you feel the pain. For sure it's the billionaire, and for sure he don't care if you got no underwear. He don't mind if you blame the elite. The billionaire's living on a high-priced street, fine wine, steak, plenty to eat while you cook for a treat, cheap hamburger meat. It's the super rich took it all, and working people took the fall. And we blame other people, not ourselves. But we were not divided by elves. We didn't put ourselves up on shelves. Someone did it to us, took the Rolls Royce while we take the bus, turn away Mexicans when there's a need for workers, cry for Ukrainians like they're the real tear jerkers. And they say Mexicans are mostly brown. They shouldn't even think to come around. Ukrainians are white. They can step right on up into the light. It might be different in some other nation, but here, race is our biggest separation. And it's an old, old game about who to blame. It's been the same game with the same aim since time began. Divide and conquer is the plan. The black and the white got no good reason to be like day and night. And hidden out of sight, the people on top don't want it to stop. They got a cop ready to pop you on the head, beat you dead on account of you said something against the system, something resembling wisdom, because Republican and Democrat are not really where it's at. Liberal and conservative, no one wants to let you live. They want you to forgive. Rich people stealing and double-dealing and say it's okay for things to stay this way, where working people are taking a beating. Someone's cheating us, never meeting us, making us divided instead of provided. I repeat once more for the street, since time began, divide and conquer is the plan, and there's one sure thing that you can bring. Everybody wants the same old thing. We might be divided on TV, but it's really simple for you and me. We want to see security for the family, to have a home and not be thrown some useless bone, to not have pain and gain our health, and enough wealth to survive, to stay alive, to eat, to act toward others like sisters and brothers, to have all the divisions fade away and not come back another day, for no one to be a problem. We need to survive, same as them, and only then can we say amen.
Wow, that is an opus. For those of you who don't know, this comrade goes all the way back to the Deacons of Defense. We've got a special announcement. We've got an honor in the house. Sister Paulette is in the house, so we want to open up her mic and let her give the special announcement. Thank you, Sister Paulette. The mic is yours. And Comrade Professor Louis, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Louis. That was very powerful and very true. It really gives people something to think about. And Julia, I wanted to thank you for the beautiful poem that you read on Saturday when we had the webinar with the Hulu. Thank you so much for your words. It really meant a lot to everyone. And as you know, I'm part of the National Jericho Movement, but I'm also the treasurer for the Leonard Peltier Official Ad Hoc Committee. And we've been notified that Leonard will go before the parole board on June 10th. So I want to thank Sister Betty for the wonderful help she has given us from the wonderful memorial for Ralph. I know he and Lynn are looking down and saying, you did good, Betty. Thank you for helping them, because the money that was raised will go a long way to helping the lawyers and the witnesses get to Coleman to testify at Leonard's hearing. Leonard will be 80 this year, and this is the 50th anniversary of the attack on the Indian camp at Ogallala. And so throughout the country and across the world, we're going to be having events on June 26th. The New York City Peltier Committee, I talked with them today, and we're going to be talking about trying to do something there in New York City. In San Jose, there will be an event. San Francisco, there will be an event. And so if you are having an event for Leonard, you can send us the information at info@freeleonardpeltiernow.org so that we can put it in the newsletter and people throughout the country and our comrades in France and Spain and Italy and Germany will know what's going on. One of our staunchest defenders just returned to Ireland, and she'll be doing some work in Ireland while she's there. So I can't thank you enough, Betty. And I know that Ralph and Lynn are saying kudos, because instead of standing in front of the White House in the summer, we're going to be in Coleman, Florida to stand with Leonard for his parole hearing. So thank you so much for everything you've done. I only can say free, free Palestine. No matter what we have going here, our relationship to our comrades over there is so apparent when you look at colonial settlerism, whether it's in here in the United States, or it's in, it was in South Africa and it is in Palestine. The European colonialists who came here have never given up their white supremacist ways. They've sort of cloaked them and pretended, oh, no, no, everything is fine. But we all know, as the professor said, that these divisions
are made for the whole ruling class. And actually, it's the elite, like he said. Many of us are working class. Some of us are middle class. But we all realize that it is not just the ruling class, but the elite among the ruling class who are benefiting from this. When Israel talks about the seafront property, they are talking about taking the land in Gaza. And so we have to be vigilant and continue our struggle and stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Because that is their land, from the river to the sea. For years, centuries before the Zionists took it over. So, and we want to thank the Jewish comrades who have come out this weekend, who have stood in solidarity with Palestine, who understand that it is Zionism that is, in fact, running the Israeli state, and that the Jewish people have stood in solidarity with their Palestinian brothers and sisters. And we want to say thank you to them, and we understand the struggle that they are going through and what it means to do this, to stand in solidarity and to be an ally. So we would say thank you to them, and we will continue to stand in solidarity ourselves. And thank you so much, Betty, for this voice. Your radio program allows all kind of us to get to say a few words and to thank you and to say Ralph would be so proud of everything that people are doing, and that... you know, when summer comes is when I miss him the most, and especially if I have to go to D.C. I can just remember coming off the subway, and there would be Ralph, and we would all go out there, and Sister Betty would come down from New York and stand for Lynn. So when this summer comes, we have to be sure that we hold steady to Ralph's anti-imperialist views and the respect that he had for people in struggle. So thank you so much, Betty. It is an honor. It is an honor to stand with you in memory of Ralph.
Thank you. I really can't thank you enough. People, she never missed a day. Never missed a day of all that vigil in front of the White House. And it meant something to him. Because many a time I was not able to be there. Somebody had to, you know, keep the job going. So we have supplies for the vigil. And that fell to me and a lot of you who were making donations. But Paulette had his back. If anything had happened to him, she would have been there to witness. So I will always be grateful to her, always. And I thank you for telling us about Peltier. As you know, we had a very successful fundraiser, over $6,000, and a few checks are still dwindling in, and we'll take them. The money is on its way to Mamiya and to Peltier. We divided it right down the middle. And people like Paulette.
And we got our check, so this I want you to know that we got it, and I put it in the bank, and so it's getting ready to help the lawyers and the medical staff.
Excellent.
To be able to go in and see Leonard and get him ready for his parole hearing. So thank you so much.
Thank you, New York City, for loving Ralph and coming out. All right, we're going to keep this ball moving. I just wanted to make two announcements. I don't usually toot the horn for WBAI on Rock Talk Radio, but tonight I have to. You've got to tune in on our program tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I've got two heavy hitters, Nellie Bailey and Maya Schoen, and they're going to let you know that you got to stop it. We have to end the support for Palestine. We've got no time left to lose. We have to stop arming Israel. That's our message tomorrow evening. We have a special guest, a Palestinian student whom we will not identify will be calling in and giving us the latest updates. In addition to that, I know you've been following WBAI with regard to Democracy Now!, and I know that you also are familiar, if you know anything about WBAI, you know that Mimi has been knocking them out of the ballpark. This coming Thursday, 9 a.m., Equal Rights and Justice. Thursday, April 25th, Truth and Reconciliation is one of her things, but the topic of the hour is Boycott Israel. Again, Boycott Israel. And you know, if you know anything, that that movement is spreading wide, far and wide. So Equal Rights and Justice with Mimi, myself with special guests, Maya Schoen and Nellie Bailey, and a special guest from Palestine will be on at 8 o'clock on WBAI. And if you have a few minutes, if you have a few pennies after you finish donating to political prisoners, especially if you're going to boycott Israel, there'll be a lot of stuff you won't be buying. I hate to say it like that, but it's true. Then take some of those pennies and donate it to WBAI. We could use it. We could use it. All right, I want to go to our next speaker who has always hung in there with us and has made a difference in the program. Brother from Michigan, Brother Fierro, your mic is open, and we're waiting for your words of wisdom. And to the rest of you, we've extended the time. We've extended the time because we know there's a lot happening, and we thank you for your patience. Brother Sierra, your mic is open.
Uhuru, uhuru, uhuru. Excellent program. I'm glad that the program is back up after 2 weeks. You know, I was talking to Belinda Parker Brown the other day, and she made mention of something that really made a lot of sense. Because, you know, we have even smaller areas with warriors in it. But if something happened to a Belinda Parker Brown, we couldn't even get to her. You know, these types of things that we have to come and create an agency for, because we can't get to everybody. And some people are doing some very important things all over the country, all over the, even in small towns. We can't get to them. So we need to create organization with the mindset that if something happens to one, it happens to all, that mindset. Now I want to go into the Four Score. This is written by Lincoln in 1864. 67 years ago, our fathers, and that was Lincoln and them, brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Well, I never, right? I'm a kidnapped victim that was brought over, a victim and been victimized 600 years in the land that was stolen, called the United States of America, stolen. And every one that was indigenous here, for the most part, was butchered. Linda Peltier is in prison for no reason at all. Mamiya is in prison for no reason. Chairman O'Malley is going to face a court on September the 3rd, standing up in the community in which he lives in or lives in, and building up institutions in that community in which he lives in for the people that live in that community in which he lives in. And I'll be damned. I'll be damned because on the one hand, I watch someone say that, speaking of Biden, that that Israel needs to tone it down on Gaza. And, you know, they've been killing native indigenous Palestinians for 75 years. They just escalated to the genocide last year. Under the auspices that they were attacked. And I believe that was set up, too, on October the 7th. That's my opinion. But intelligence tells me this thing happens when it comes to the United States government, when it comes to the UK, when it comes to France. These atrocities that occur, that the people are indicted for wherever they live at, wherever their resources are being stolen out of, are the ones who are being accused of the indecency, the atrocities that occur there. How dare they? How can you ever come into someone's land and say you're coming in as they don't live like you? What brings you in that mindset that you are better than they are? What kind of idiot are you, idiot? So I say this because right now we're facing genocide right here in the U.S. Right now, we're going to have to address these youth in a different way because we got to speak a language that they really understand to carry on where we're going to be leaving off at, right? Work to let it go dead. You're not doing all that work to let it go dead. I'm not doing all this work to let it go dead. We have to change some of our messaging, and we'll have to go out and really organize without fear. That means even going to the games. That means getting out on the streets. That means, despite what the press might say about me or you, calling me some kind of savage or some kind of beast when they're the beast, the worst beast that anyone in creation could ever call a beast or a savage. People for life to the death, and then they let them out when they're on their dying bed out of prison. What kind of mindset is that? What kind of sickness is that? What kind of nihilism is that? These things I thought I'd bring to the attention for us, or food for thought, because we are in the most advanced, because even protests aren't getting. Right now, those young people being housed in prison, kicked out of the university. Ilhan Omar's daughter, she's kicked out, $90,000 gone down the drain. Why? Because they flipped the script. Oh, they're talking about the Jews, but we're killing the Palestinians. That is a hell of a... Thank you. Go to handsoffwithhulu.org and think about what I just said. We got to protect one another, and we got to be able to get there for one another. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to let you know that while we are focusing on Gaza, please don't take your eyes off what's happening with imperialism at home. I know you heard about the court case that happened. The Supreme Court is on the verge of criminalizing homeless people. You know, there were massive protests in Washington, and I salute the comrades and people who went to Washington. We need to start organizing protests here in solidarity with the Columbia students. They want to say if you take a blanket to the park, you can be arrested as a homeless person and a vagrant. Now, you and I know, we study the so-called, what it's called is the Holocaust literature. When they started fixing it so you could not afford the rent in New York City, people became homeless. Don't care about what color the mayor is. We got more black mayors now than you can shake a stick at. But we also got more homeless than we've ever had before, where these black mayors are supposedly in charge. So they're not in charge for us. They're not in charge for you. They're not in charge for me. They're in charge, as the poem is telling you, as Brother Fierro is telling you, as Sister Batul is telling you. They're in charge for the ruling classes. And that is why we must raise up the banner and not be fooled. We've got to keep one eye on Gaza, another eye on what's happening here, and another one on whatever I hope you got in your pocket. So we're going to continue, and I just wanted to make you aware of that fact that there's a court case, and people have been anticipating that after the COVID pandemic, advocates and policy analysts have warned of a homelessness tsunami. It is the worst case scenario, where the combination of loss of income, the backlogs of owed rent, and a lack of local government foresight contribute to a surge of people losing housing and ending up on the street. Well, it is here, and it's being promoted by our comrades who claim they care about us. You know, the super rich, they're concerned about chaos in the streets. And so their solution is to have these people locked up. There's a whole history of it that's being discussed in the newrepublic.com. I urge you to look for it. The Supreme Court is criminalizing homelessness. Again, the Supreme Court is criminalizing homelessness. and the homeless, and it's in the newrepublic.com article online. There is an interesting statistic on how the homeless issue, it's one of the largest issues for New York City, as quiet as it is kept. And it is the lack of affordable housing that is fueling this struggle. I want you to please pay attention to what's going on with the war at home. Arresting people who have blankets in the park. You're going to arrest the women with the babies who have blankets? Are you going to arrest the people who have blankets and having a picnic with their families? They're going to arrest people who have blankets and allegedly are sleeping in the park. You know what happened with the kettles, a concept called the kettle that the Nazis used in the European so-called ghettos. They rounded up people who were homeless. And where did they put them? We know where they put them. They call them concentration camps. So the question is, when they're rounding up these people with blankets who are sleeping in the parks, are they going to take them to these empty apartments they are warehousing and not putting on the market because they want to drive up the cost of the apartments? No, they are not. So we need you to put that word out there, comrades. And when you go for any protest now, hold up a banner to say stop the war on the homeless. I apologize for raving and ranting, but this is escalating, and we have to keep our eyes on the prize, and the prize is liberation and freedom by any means necessary. We want to open up the mic of another comrade. We don't know if he wants to speak, but if he has a few words he wants to share with us, his mic is open.
Did you open my mic?
Yes. Yes, indeedy.
Okay. Okay, good enough. Yes, as always, so very informative and very inspiring, all the words being said tonight. Let me say a couple of things here. We've all seen either directly at these rallies and demonstrations or at least on the news where the young people at the universities and campuses are coming out strong, loud, and powerfully in support of the genocide being committed by the Zionist state, supported, of course, by the United States government and other Western imperialist countries. But what it brought to mind as I looked at it, because I was a student activist in the 1960s when we were fighting against the wars in Southeast Asia, Vietnam, and those wars, and the kind of militancy, the kind of energy, the kind of clear insight about what, why they're out there and what they're doing out there, and their willingness to take that struggle on the campuses here in the United States in support of the Palestinian people struggling, fighting against genocide, and putting it out there in a strong, powerful way. It reminded me exactly of, you know, what we did back then in relationship to Vietnam. What's important to remember from history and today is that we have to give these young people, these students and other activists on these campuses that are raising up that issue of Palestine, genocide against Palestine, Palestinian people, we have to make a very strong effort to support those young people as they're confronting the cops and the U.S. government in its attempt to put down this support for the Palestinian people. So however that might be and whatever we might be able to do, let's think about it and let's do it. And, you know, of course, all the time keeping our political prisoners and firmly in our mind as well.
Well, I cannot thank you enough for that report, and I can't thank you enough for being in solidarity with the message. There is a connection between the imperial wars abroad, and then not if you think they're going to stop with Iraq, I've got a bridge I'm going to sell you. So there's a connection between the war abroad and the war against the homeless citizens and the students here at home. It's just one war. It's just one group that's fighting this war against us, and it's a war of extermination. All you have to do is look at Gaza to understand that. We want to go to one of our comrades who's been waiting patiently to give us an update. I hope he's still able to hang in there with us. Brother Henry, your mic is open, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sister Betty, and I want to congratulate all of our participants in a very effective and important program. I'd like to share a commentary from Umiya dated August 20th, 2011. And as I read it, I would like people to keep in mind the reactionary positions taken by people like Hakeem Jeffries and Al Sharpton, who support the persecution of people of color in Palestine and elsewhere, and especially here in New York City. While rage bubbles in black hearts, August 20th, 2011, it has taken a while to reach this conclusion, but upon reflection, it is inescapable. Why, after over half a century of black voting and the election of more black political leaders than at any time since Reconstruction, are the lives, fortunes, prospects, and hopes of black people so grim? Our education system is in shambles, with a dropout rate nearing 50% in most central cities. Black communities are either ignored or gentrified into oblivion. Joblessness stalks families by the highest percentage since figures were first recorded, and black families face foreclosure and its concomitant result, homelessness, at rates far exceeding those for any other demographic, a direct result of the mortgage scams that line the pockets of Wall Street banking executives and their minions. In cities boasting black mayors and black police chiefs, police violence against citizens continues unabated, and the prison industrial complex traps generations in chains. One is forced to conclude that black Americans suffer maladies similar to those faced by continental African nations, a segregated neocolonial system in which a political class gives the appearance of freedom and independence while perpetrating racial oppression and financial exploitation. Sadly, electing more black politicians does not equal more black political power, for in this surfeit of black representation, voices of discontent are muted while rage bubbles in black hearts and minds. And rather than black politicians speaking for those who voted for them, they too are muted, more loyal to party than people, more anxious to not rock the boat even when water rushes through the breached hull. They speak to them, preaching patience while home burns. They mimic white politicians echoing their words while representing communities that could not be more desperate. If black politicians are to do the very same thing as their white colleagues, why have them at all? What's the difference? Neocolonialism at home and abroad.
Right on. Thank you for repeating the message, but in a different way. That's a good teacher. That's a very good teacher. I'm going to move right along. We've got Comrade Joel in the house, and he's been doing some interesting studies and connecting some interesting dots. And thank you, Comrade Henry Hagen. Thank you very much. Brother Joel, your mic is open. Welcome back. It's so good to know you're in the queue again.
Yes, well, thank you so much. And I feel very honored to be taking part in this discussion. And it's very important that we have this understanding that there really are no boundaries in a certain way. Like if genocide is being committed, you know, it's like what it says in the Bible. I'm not a Bible thumper or anything, but I like the part where this idea that what you do unto the least of these my brethren, so do ye unto me. And that's how we should feel. In other words, Palestinians are being killed. Palestinians are being subjected to genocide. That's not like some other people. We have to identify with those people as human beings and feel it as if it were happening to members of our own family or to ourselves as individuals. I know people aren't really built to fully feel that way, but that's the spirit to strive for. We should be equally angry at those who are committing genocide, no matter whom they're committing the genocide against or who they are or what their identities may be or even what some of their past history may be. It has to really get us riled up and angry and fighting. And I'm glad to see that the fight is back on the streets. where it has not been, pretty much since the Obama administration had induced it to all quiet down and for various reasons lowered the pitch, even though imperialism has been organizing and preparing and committing genocide around the world and so on. And now people are back in the streets. Very quickly, this has taken place. We saw it happen in Colombia. Now this seems to be spreading nationwide among different universities. NYU, for example, I understand there were over 100 arrested. Thing with Columbia, Yale University apparently had dozens of arrests, and this is spreading like wildfire across the country, and that's going to put much more pressure on society as a whole, including the political establishment, which right now is totally complicit and enabling in terms of the commission of genocide. And we can't really stand in the middle, because tax dollars and the profits that the corporations steal out of our labor is all going in to finance this genocide. So, you know, whether we want to know it or not, the system does that with the resources that we create. So we have to compensate for that, and we have to rise up and be on the other side in solidarity with all of the oppressed people around the world. And it's happening right at home. We could see with this homeless thing. And they're talking about, I remember during the Tompkins Square uprising, which was largely a rebellion of homeless people, also in alliance with the tenants movement and the squatters movement. And we had a big banner. It was called Gentrification is Genocide. And at that time, I remember, and this may still exist, but there's a camp in Westchester. I forget the name of it, but it's a camp where homeless people have been settled down. And there was a national program for a while, partly in response to the pressure that was it became inflamed because of the Tompkins Square uprising to house homeless people on abandoned military bases. And that seems to be a humane move at first, but actually we knew that such a development would turn into concentration camps for the homeless, and that these ultimately would could easily turn into death camps. And we know also that now there's talk about building concentration camps for people who are skeptical about the vaccines or about the COVID thing. If they wanted to force people to take medications handed down from a medical establishment that we can't trust, that we know is capable of and centrally is oriented by biological warfare and psychological warfare, psychiatry being part of medicine too. So many people were skeptical about vaccines and so on, and some people say with the hidden information, with good reason. And now this discussion about building concentration camps for those who refuse vaccines and other treatments that are supposed to fight pandemics, which themselves are highly likely to be germ warfare. And in fact, there's rumors that a treaty is being organized now in the United Nations that would universalize that around the world, but those who don't conform to these medical dictates could be put into camps and kept there for indefinite periods of time. So this is a very real thing. The concentration camps in the United States were built under the McCarran-Walters Act in the early 1950s, and then they were strengthened under the Patriot Act and put under FEMA administration right after 9/11. So this is a very serious thing. None of us should consider ourselves immune regionally in the world to genocide, because this government's greatest enemy is the people, if the people rise up and create a real democracy by overthrowing the handful of billionaires and trillionaires that operate this government, not for the benefit of the people who live here, but for their own benefit in exploiting people around the world. And I want to say that the declared genocide has already broken out in the Middle East with the Gaza people, and Palestinian people in general are targeted. And this has been foreseen by the builders of the Zionist structure and the architects of the whole idea of Zionism 100 years before the Israeli state came together as such, and before the massive expulsion and driving from their homes of the Palestinian people who have largely become refugees on the West Bank and Gaza and so on. So this is a very important juncture, and the fact that people are coming out into the streets shows people are starting out now more educated than they were, say, at the beginning of the Vietnam War. And the Vietnam War shows that the U.S. can lose a war, and that Vietnam was also educated a lot of people, so that by the end of the Vietnam War, they had an army in the field in Vietnam whose rank-and-file soldiers and some officers were revolting against the army itself. They have a phenomenon called fragging, in which soldiers would throw fragmentation bombs into the tents of the officers and so on. And one of the main reasons that they had to pull out of attempting to recolonize Vietnam or any part of Indochina at that time, they had to pull out because their own armed forces are revolting. And we've seen, for example, one member of the Air Force, Aaron Bushnell, he immolated himself. He committed political suicide in the most dramatic and obviously painful way in order to dramatize his opposition to becoming a murderer and a traitor to the human race by being a member of the U.S. Air Force, when the U.S. government is an accomplice to open genocide that's breaking out right before our eyes in the Middle East. So, and we see also that now the U.S. is getting ready again to drum up the wars against in the Ukraine, mainly aimed against Russia, but also genocidal in its indirect effect in terms of setting up the Ukrainian people to be wiped out. Many of them already have been. And that's all that money is going towards, supporting corrupt officials and setting up people to die in order to put NATO on the Russian border possibly triggering a nuclear war. Taiwan now is being armed with money from the new bill, and also U.S. military advisors are now being stationed in Taiwan. In other words, American troops, for the first time, official American troops are on Chinese territory, because Taiwan is actually part of China. Right now, they have two separate governments, but the Chinese government, the mainland government, the revolutionary government that came about through a revolution of workers and peacemakers, wants eventually to peacefully reunite Taiwan with the rest of China. And now there are U.S. troops, military troops in Taiwan organizing a resistance and trying to create a permanent separation and to divide China into two pieces. It's called divide and conquer. So this is, and we should take notice that, you know, those people who think that the Democratic Party is the lesser evil, it is the Biden administration that has pushed for this additional war funding and sending of weapons to Europe and Taiwan and $96 billion. And, of course, to the genocide-committing Zionist entity, which some people choose to call Israel. So this is this is all orchestrated largely by the Democratic Party. And especially when you look at the war in Ukraine at a time when even the Trump administration is trying to reduce tensions with Russia, as the Democratic Party was opposing. That's why they impeached him, because of that phone call that the administration made to Zelensky and so on. So in other words, these are twin enemies, the Democratic Party and Republican Party, and we need our own organization that can resist both of those parties and to begin to operate, to take power into our own hands. We as working people are the ones who have built this country, who have created the wealth, both as so-called free workers and as slaves, and native people who had this land originally, which was stolen from them. They grow up in, speaking of concentration camps, in these reservations, which are really concentration camps that the whole Native people were forced to forced into and still largely confined in. So we have to remember that whenever you hear that rhetoric spreading democracy and liberty around the world, that's really a struggle against the U.S. government, against U.S. imperialism, which is exactly the opposite of democracy. It means the domination of a handful of billionaires and trillionaires who are oppressing the rest of the world, which built and created the billions and trillions of dollars worth of values that they own and control. And the first step in that is we have to free our minds, and freeing our minds means struggling to free ourselves from that domination and to build a new type of world with a governance based on equality among the nations, equality among the races, and an international solidarity to build a world which is based on the working class and the peasantry, the farmers and so on, who create all the wealth and all the sustenance material of the world, and that's how that's the only way that we can really have freedom and democracy. It's by overthrowing the dominance of the handful of even their own president at the time, Franklin Roosevelt, called the economic royalists. The whole idea that, at least in the hypocritical documents that were written, was the principal basis of the American Revolution, not lived up to, but which inspired many people to fight, that we don't want a tyrannical king. We want a really elected government that really represents the majority. And if we're talking about the working class in all of its dimensions, we're talking about the overwhelming majority of the world. That's where democracy is centered and resides. So anytime we hear about motivating people to fight for democracy under the American flag of imperialism, They're leading us in exactly the opposite direction. And we have to stand together and resist all of these wars and all of these genocides that are going on and organize around that and not get misled. Whatever tactics somebody might use one time or another, not to get pulled into a mentality of depending on the Democratic or Republican Party or any administration under them to do anything but to continue what they have been doing, which means spreading oppression and genocide around the world. And just so that, and that's why also we have to remember, as this program focuses on, the political prisoners who are now suffering in prison because they were organizing along those lines. And we have to, and that's one of the first things we have to do. We can't forget the political prisoners without losing revolutionary soul. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I like what was being said. My name is Ethel, and I'm calling because I was at the supporting the people in regards to Johnson versus Grant's pass in, you know, in Oregon, where the people are sleeping on the streets because there are no access to any shelters. It's going on all over the country, but the people got together and they said this is really bad because they're being ticketed for sleeping outside on blankets and, you know, having their pillows. So the people got tired because they were getting many tickets that people can't afford it, and they got together and they are suing the state of Oregon. So we were at the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. on Monday, standing up, shouting, you know, different things from our organization, which was Vocal New York, and we had Vocal Kentucky there and Vocal Texas. And we're trying to make that even bigger in terms of all the different organizations that are helping with the unhoused and the homeless people throughout the country. It was really, really something. It was fulfilling to me because I have a real deep feeling that that case will go through, and the people definitely going to get what they need. I really do.
Sister Ethel, what were some of the speeches that were given?
Oh, my goodness. They were talking about how people should not be living that way. Of course, we know that no one should be living that way.
What?
As well as Reverend Barber was there from the Poor People's Campaign. We had a lot of different people speaking. I'm just so, excited. I can't even remember all the people.
What resolutions did pass in terms of organizing the rest of our communities?
That's right. And when we are together, it doesn't matter who you are, when you're together, what's that term? United we stand, divided we fall. It doesn't matter who you are because everybody is going through something like this. And it makes no sense because if you have someone sleeping in front of your store or your business and you get mad and someone told a story about how someone sprayed a person with pepper spray from the top to the bottom just because they were sleeping in one. That makes no sense. You have to be a part of helping and supporting. As Martin Luther King said, if you are not a part of the solution, then you're a part of the problem. So everybody needs to get a labor advocates that deal with homelessness and the unhoused, all the different organizations. Look at what's going on campuses. People out there sleeping.
I'm going to ask you another question. What is
fighting.
The name of the organization that you were representing when you went to Washington, D.C.?
Yes, it's called Vocal New York. They're located in Brooklyn, but they have other sites. One is called Vocal Kentucky, that was there, as well as Vocal Texas. So we all, not just us, other organizations got together, and we were out there, and it's on It's on the social media. Even CNN got us on WBAI. Amy Goodman spoke about it. And we also had this other TV from Washington, D.C. It was really something. It was really something. I really feel good, and I felt good because everybody was coming together. One woman told us from Maine, and she was a white woman, and she said that she was feeling really down. But when she heard us saying, fight, 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 being housed is a human right, and she heard us saying other things, she said, you all made me feel good. I feel empowered. So there's
well,
a
I
lot
cannot,
of people.
I can't thank you enough for this report. I want to congratulate you. I know you have kids and you have family, you have responsibilities just like the rest of us. And I know you're not a teenager, so I knew, and I know you're not rich, and I know that cost you, and it cost you energy. And on behalf of myself, I feel you represented me, and I thank you. Tell us the name of the organization again that we can contact if
Vocal?
We want to get involved.
Oh, definitely. I'll send you the information. Vocal New York. And they, like I said, are in Brooklyn. I could connect you to the different lead organizers. And we have meetings and things like that. And, of course, anyone is welcome. We have it at the People's Forum.
Okay, sweetheart. Thank you so much. And, again, I feel you represented all of us. We're going to try to step up to the plate. Much appreciated, Sister Ethel. Keep up
well,
the good work.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you so much for what you're doing. And I wish I was there for tomorrow for Mamiya, Free the Political Prisoners. This is something that's very important.
Yes. When we fight, we win. Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right.
All right. I have a special request from Brother Sayedo. He said there was a resolution he wanted to read to us. Brother Sierra, your mic is open.
Yes, this is a resolution to protect anti-colonial free speech on campus. Whereas the historic struggle by black people in the United States for freedom and self-determination have been the driving force for democratic rights, pushing back against intensified government repression of speech, upholding and protecting the right to free speech and political expression for all. Whereas anti-colonial free speech is speech that calls for the liberation of African, indigenous, Palestinian, and all colonized peoples around the world, including within the borders of the United States, and recognizes that colonized people are leading their own struggle for liberation. Whereas anti-colonial free speech is under threat of censorship and criminalization as evidenced in the United States government's bogus prosecution of Chairman Omari Yeshitela, who are facing 15 years in prison for exercising their free speech right to advocate for the liberation of Africa and African people. Whereas students and educators who have spoken out in the opposition to the United States-backed Israeli state's genocide in Gaza, this is to include Joe Biden and the United States government feeding them armaments, bullets, weaponry, and billions of dollars. In Gaza have faced severe punishment, including false accusations of anti-Semitism. As you know, that's whereas university student government believes in academic and intellectual freedom, including students' right to participate in anti-colonial free speech demonstrations, distribution of literature, posters, flyers, demonstrations, teach-ins, social media, and any other forms of speech. Whereas all members of the university life, students, staff, educators, employees, and others have the rights to exercise anti-colonial free speech and should not be university administrators. Whereas members of the campus community are free to criticize and intellectually challenge those with opposing views, including university staff, the board, administrators, and sponsors. Resolved, therefore, let it be resolved. University student government upholds that anti-colonial free speech must be protected without obstruction from harassment or retaliation. Therefore, it be resolved. University student government upholds of speech that affirms the right of Palestinian people to fight back against colonial occupation and demands that there can be no targeting of activists speaking up for Palestine. Therefore, be it resolved, university students, protect the rights of students of the government's anti-free speech political targeting of the Uhuru 3, who are facing false charges of being Russian agents for speaking out against the United States government's genocide of African people. Therefore, be it resolved, university student government upholds the rights of students exercising free speech in the call for indigenous liberation, freeing political prisoner Leonard Peltier and others, and the right of indigenous people to self-determination. This is a resolution that has been presented. Uhuru.
Uhuru, I'm going to open up everyone's mic, given the special circumstances. If you have anything you want to comment on before we get off the air this evening, I think everybody here is politically astute enough to know the relationship between what's happening with this resolution trying to give the government the right to arrest homeless people as the beginning of the active genocide and death camp march for the poor. So everybody's mic is open. If you wish to make a comment at this time in terms of what we're facing, feel free to do so.
What we call that genocide. This is the genocide we talk about in America. When you talk about getting rid of people off the streets,
who hasn't spoke, Simon, please. Anyone else
fire. That's what that is. Okay.
Yes. Anyone else want to make a response or name an organization that has an active protest going on anywhere right now? Please speak up. This is serious. Okay. All right. I'm going to assume that the only thing anyone wants to announce is the information about Mamiya. Can we have that information again?
Oh, yes. Betty, I forgot I forgot the most important city of all. I'm sorry. That's Paris. In Paris, they are having a very big rally at the Place de la République. And right now, in Philly, there's a delegation of French activists, and they're accompanied by a member of the French Senate. He's a member of the French Communist Party, and they're all going to visit Mumia.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, I think, folks, we've pretty much come to the end of our program this evening. Is anybody else going to speak up?
I was just going to say that talking about people who have no homes to live in, an average of 90,578 people slept in New York City's homeless shelters each night as of October 2023. This was 23,103 single adults, 32,689 children, and 34,786 adults with families. The total number is at its highest ever.
In January 23, the homeless count, since January 2023, the homeless count has increased. It's at least 1,076,396 evictions across 10 states and 34 cities. And this is according to the Princeton University Eviction Lab Project. All right?
Wow.
In December alone, there was more than 69,000 evictions in those areas that are being monitored. People, you have to understand, these are statistics for Gaza. There are nearly 22.4 million households, or half of all renters, can't afford their rent according to an accepted standard, paying more than 30% of one's income. All right?
Yep.
So this is what people are looking at. They have to choose between eating and having shelter over their heads. And now the Supreme Court wants to pass a law to criminalize anyone who's tired. They have to sleep outdoors because there are no room in the shelters and no affordable housing. And on that note, hopefully we will see each other this station again next week. And thank you all. Keep organizing. Thank you, Sister Ethel. Thank you for joining up March in Washington. Take care.